morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to Miss Mary Ann. We love you and thank you and praying for you, and you did get back, didn't you? What an inspiration. And I'm so glad when you texted me and you told me now I'm praying for you. I appreciate it. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Started there last week. And these two sermons last week and this week have probably almost everything we need as a church to look at to know what we're supposed to do. The problem that we have is somehow we've got away from what the Bible teaches in our experience. We know the Word, we quote the Word, we heard things and passed them one and on, but the Bible is filled with illustrations, stories, and the parable is an illustration. And the biggest thing that I want to talk about this morning is the church in the world, not the world in the church. We spend all our time, all our prayers, everybody's watching. We're trying to keep the world out of the church, and there's nothing wrong with that. We need to do that, but there's a way to do it. But we need to be concerned, and the scripture will make it very clear that God wants the church to be in the world, because there's no other way they can be saved. God planted seeds. He sowed seeds to the whole world, hasn't he? Everybody, everywhere has a chance to be saved. Okay. Whosoever will can be saved. We'll call them anymore, can't they? And when it comes to the wheat and the tares, people get too specific and too judgmental. And they want to put it like, if you're not one, you're the other. That's not true. There's a lot of folks that aren't saved that it's obvious they're in a lot of trouble, and they may even be evil in our estimation. But there's also saved people, church people, that can get pretty far away, can't they? Can't they? And the influence that God has is matched with the influence that Satan has. That's the wheat and the tares. In the church, I'm going to show you today that there's no reason for tares to be in the church for very long. Tares are extremes. Tares are ones that tear things up and get in and cause trouble. They don't have to be here. God will help us with that one. But when it comes to the world, you're going to find out that Jesus said, leave the tares alone. And there's a reason. It's a dangerous thing for us to take it upon ourselves to do anything but grow the church. That's what we're supposed to do. Not the physical building here, not even those that are here on Sunday, but grow the church that's out in the world, that's among the tares, so that there can be an influence of God where it can be nowhere else. We can take programs and we can have all kinds of stuff, activities, ministries, so-called. But God teaches us that every one of us individually is going to be sowed and planted somewhere outside the church building in the world to make a difference. And that's what we're not doing. We need to get church folks, God's people, saved people to go where God plants them. And where God plants them is where they'll do his work. We can stay in here all we want and worry about the world getting in and never do what God wants us to do. But we can let him take care of anything that might be in here when we're obedient. He'll do what he needs to do in here. But out there, we need to be. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for all the answered prayers that we have here this morning. We do pray you'd be with all those that are traveling, and there's many of them here this morning that are traveling that would be here if they weren't. We pray that you would bless your word, touch our hearts, open our eyes to see, and our ears to hear, and our heart to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to refer back for just a little bit to the first parable. We're not going to necessarily read it, But it's important as we go back to study that, to study this. We're going to start in verse 24. And I want you to look in your Bible as we read verse 24 of Matthew chapter 13. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? For whence then hath it tares? He has said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then go down a little bit farther to 36. Then said Jesus, sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and him which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, that's the parable of the wheat and the tares. We learned last week in the first 23 verses that men become lost. They're born with a nature, aren't they? Men become, they're not created, they're not born, but they become wheat or they become tares. The process that we were taught in the first parable was that all the seed that God sowed, Jesus sowed it, and he sowed it everywhere, in every place. Hearts represented the soil, and every heart of every man, the word of God was sowed in their hearts. God never misses anybody. Everybody has the seed sown to their heart. There is seed on some hearts that's rejected. And there's some seed that falls into a good heart and it bears fruit. All hearts of all men have a before and an after. They're not predestined to do anything but be conformed to the image of Christ after we're saved. Everybody becomes a wheat or a tare. And everybody has a time when they were lost, don't they? Before they came to the Lord, every heart is lost before God. And every heart needs the seed of the Word of God sown on it in order to be saved. That's the teaching that we had last week. You remember last week we talked about the natural and the spiritual. I want to go over that just a little bit more. The seed was sown, and there was a parable, there was a picture, there was a physical, there was a natural. It was on the highway, it was on the byway, it was among thorns. That was a physical picture that everybody that heard the word understood. Everybody understood the illustration in the natural form in their hearts, didn't they? But only the ones that it went deeper and it sowed spiritual understanding in the heart were the ones that bore bear fruit, those that were saved. Now, in John 1, you can turn there, hold your place there. This is going to be very, very familiar to you. John chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 11. John chapter 1, verse 11. Bible says, he, Jesus, came unto his own, the Jewish people, natural and physical, okay? And his own received him not. They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a king. They never took it deeper than that. They didn't take it, the understanding that Jesus is even teaching in the parable now. They missed out on it. It didn't get deep. It didn't get down inside their heart to where there was fruit spiritually made. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. The seed that was sown in their heart was rejected. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There were some that received the word, and they bore fruit. They got power. You see that word become? They become. They weren't before. The word was sown. They understood the beginning. They understood the physical, the natural. And then they understood the deep spiritual meaning, and they became sons of God. They were saved. Not only did they have power to become, but they believed on him. It's the same thing at the same time. And then it says in verse 13, which were born not of blood, not physically, not naturally, nor the will of the flesh, none of that shallow stuff, nor the will of man, but they were born of God. Deep spiritual reception of the seed that was sowed. Now, we need to understand that there's two seeds. We're talking about the wheats and the tares. And before we go any further, I know I don't like to have you turn a bunch of places, but this morning it's necessary. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And look at verse 14. This is the condemnation and judgment against the devil for taking upon himself to tempt Adam and Eve and be the one that would cause them to fall. The Bible says in Genesis 3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All the way back in Genesis, when you take it back to the parable that we're looking at this morning, there were two seeds, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. We look at Cain and Abel and Seth and all the things in the Bible that talks about that, and we follow it all the way through. There's wheat and there's tares. There's people that are influenced by the Word of God to the point where it takes seed, it's sown deep, and there's a spiritual fruit in their wheat. They're saved and Christians. There's the other side that the devil has influence on, and in the parable that we went about last week, there was some seed that fell on good ground. And always, every time, 100%, the good ground, when God takes care of it and God saves it and God has us born again, there cannot be an influence of the devil to the point to where we become a tare. Once we're saved, we're always saved. And I know there's people that don't like that, but that's in the Bible, isn't it? When God saves us spiritually, because we couldn't, there's nobody that can ever take that away. God can't, he won't, he loves us. And he seals us with his Holy Spirit. So even back in Genesis 13, we begin to see the influences, the two influences. But in Matthew 13, Jesus talks about a wheat and tares. Now, there was the seed that was sowed in the good ground, which became wheat. And there was three other places that didn't receive, that rejected the Word of God when it was sowed in their hearts. And I'm not saying this morning that every single person that has opportunity to be saved and they reject the Lord is a tare. They're just unbelievers. There's a lot of unbelievers that aren't tares. But everybody that's influenced to the point that they're a tare, is an unbeliever. And they're influenced to the point so much that they bear fruit for the devil. They influence others so much that there's no doubt there's something wrong. And when wheat and tares are sown together, it's hard to tell for a while which one is which. In fact, when the wheat was sown, it was sown first. And then, while they slept, and it's okay to sleep. This means that it's not our responsibility. It's not our fault. There's nothing we could do about it. Because it's the devil that sows the tares. And he sows it in a place where there is no wheat. And I think most of it is because that other seed rejected the word of God. It could have been wheat, but refused, rejected, the heart wasn't right. And there's a good place for the devil to sow a tare. That's where he sows it. And the servants went out in the field, as we just read, and they knew there was wheat. They knew that they was working, and they sowed seed. They knew what the seed and the wheat would look like. And they knew better than anybody when they looked out. They said, oh no. Who did this? This is not wheat. This is tares. And you look up that in the Wikipedia, or it used to be Britannica or some other place. It's a name called darnel. It's a poisonous weed. Not deadly at the beginning, but it gets into wheat and things that make wheat out of it. It's not right now. And it makes you sick. It poisons. It's not good to have them together. And the physical surface understanding is just that. But the deeper spiritual understanding is what the disciples wanted to know. The servants came out, the disciples come out. We could go out today in the world and we can say, oh my goodness, what's going on? You turn on the TV today, this morning, last night, tomorrow, and look at the riots. Look at the law that's obedient, following the Constitution, following the conscience that God gives us of right and wrong, to go against evil. And you say, what in the world is wrong if there's people that's trying to stop it? There's people risking their lives to get in the way. They've been influenced by somebody, haven't they? To go completely against the law. And they're going to have to pay. But because we can't tell much of a difference right now, and maybe it's not our place, and maybe somebody's waiting on something else to happen, there's nothing we can do about what goes on in the world. There's politics, there's police, there's programs, a whole lot of things that are going on right now. And it's bad, isn't it? Somebody needs to do something. And they are. They're trying, aren't they? We got two sides, two seeds, so to speak, don't we? There's a good side and a bad side. And the only way to figure out and understand what's going on in the world today, it's the devil's seed and the woman's seed, which is Jesus and his people, us Christians on it. It's narrowed down to that. But in the scriptures that we read, the problem that we have is Jesus said, leave them alone. Let them grow together. I'll take care of it later. And you see, the big first thing, if you go back to Matthew 13, that I want to show you is verse 37. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. The field is the world. Already, and I'm not going to go through a lot of things to go back, but what the Lord is talking about is the field is the world, not the church. That doesn't happen in the church because we can discipline. Ananias and Sapphira let the devil lie to them. They were Christians, and the devil influenced Christians enough where they disobeyed in Acts 5, didn't they? And they dropped dead when Peter came by. We have discipline in the church. We have discipline in our families. God's not talking about the church that has tares and wheat together and we're supposed to leave them alone. It's the world. isn't it? Where the seed was rejected, the devil planted easily in the hearts of men the influence that he had. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And Jesus said, let them grow together. Long, long time ago, when I first started pastoring and preaching, 35 years ago now, I understood this. I didn't understand a whole lot and still don't. I'm working on it. But somehow, some way, back a long time ago, this spoke to my heart, and I'll never forget it, and I've never changed. I had, as a young pastor, this scripture in my heart, and I realized with the power of God to understand that I need to leave the people alone and grow the church, the tares, the world. My responsibility in the church as a pastor was to leave all that other stuff alone. Because the church is not going to be stopped because it's going to grow. The world's going to grow. It's going to get evil. It is getting worse, isn't it? It's so close and entangled in the world with the wheat that if we try to get it up now, and that was our job, that was our ministry, and it is in some places, isn't it? We're not worried about folks getting saved. We're not worried about helping people with things that they need. We're going to preach and teach, and we're going to go rise up and protest everything that ever happens everywhere. And when we do that and put all our focus on the tares, who's helping the church grow? I'm supposed to perfect the saints, Ephesians chapter 4 says. Help them to grow strong. Help them to mature. That's what I'm supposed to do in the church. And we don't have to worry about the tares. We don't have to worry about the world that gets in the church, and it does, doesn't it? We need to be concerned about the wheat that's in the world. We need to take the church individually, and that's how it happens. It's not programs. It's not mission trips. Wherever you've been planted, factory, school, bank, wherever, a mother at home, a homeschooler, whatever you are, wherever you've been planted, the church is supposed to build you up, pray for you on Sunday morning, because when you leave church, you go into the world. And wherever you've been planted, you're wheat. And your influence that God helps you to grow and to build and be strong is what causes the tares to react. As long, and we've seen it for 4 years at least, as long as you leave people alone and let them do what they want, it can get really bad, can it? Can it? And the first time we begin to obey the law in a while, and try to obey the law and keep promises, even on a political stance or state, the other side can really get riled up, can't they? And what happens is in the world, in the flesh, good against evil and politics and all that, it's going to swing back and forth depending on who's in office, isn't it? And sometimes we care and sometimes we don't. Sometimes there's nothing we can do and sometimes we refuse. But we're talking about the wheat, the church, that God has planted in the world. He's planted you and He's planted me to be somewhere when we're not in church. He's given us some gifts. He's given us some talents. All back in the Bible, you see men like Joseph and Daniel. Men that were raised up as wheat to make a difference and influence kings and governors and politics and the evil that was around them. Isn't that right? And it's not changed today. We've been planted in the world. And the world needs the church. And the church are those that are planted in so many different places. I find out some preachers, if they've ever been around cows or not. It's been a while since I've done, but folks used to, some of these preachers say, how many of y'all running on Sunday? I said, we're running 200. We're going to catch in about 70. And I can tell right off if they've ever been around much of anything. You never get all your run. Unless you have a couple of gates that you close and only one place for them to go. But the seriousness of the message is an influence that God gives us as a church. In the church, the wheat, it's going to grow. And it's going to grow alongside the tares. And sometimes it's going to be so entangled, roots and all, underneath the ground, that it seems almost impossible to ever make a difference. Anybody here this morning can help me, I'd appreciate it. But I think the Bible is very right and correct when it says we're entangled as wheat with the tares on them. What is the law? What is right? What is wrong? Who is going to go to heaven? What's the right Bible? What's the right preaching? What's the right church? We're entangled, aren't we? We've spent all our time staying in the church, worrying about the world getting in, and growing as strong as we can with the influence of God in our lives to be the wheat that's out in the world. It'll make a difference, but we haven't done it enough, have we? I don't know a lot of people, and I talk to people all the time at work. A lot of good Christian people that somehow think that they've got a card to check in and out just like an old factory. They clock in and clock out. And Sunday they clock out of church and they clock into the world. And to hear them talk and to hear them tell things, how they party and where they go and what they do all week long. If they're wheat, I can't tell the difference. And neither can anybody else. And they can vote and they can raise money and they can be on one side and they can protest and they can do all they want, but they're not a tare. They're wheat. And God's going to put wheat in the world and plant and sow us in the world to get stronger and stronger and better and better. And people that are around wheat, honest, true wheat, and they're not tares. And even if they are tares, you know God can change them, can he? He can he? That's why there's a harvest. There's a harvest coming. And the harvest is not at the end of the service. That if anybody gets out without coming to the altar and shedding a tear, we've just messed up. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what God's talking about. It's planting. It's watering. And waiting for God to give the increase. But how many times have you ever heard the teaching in the church that talks about God wants the church in the world? He does, doesn't he? He's planted the wheat first. He planted my daddy in West Virginia. Then he moved him to Ohio. Then he moved him to Texas. And I followed up because we went from Ohio to Texas to Tennessee. We stopped right there. I used to say that West Virginia was heaven, but I don't know. I think Tennessee's pretty good. Don't y'all? I really do. I like Tennessee. I like where we live. But anyway, God plants us before we know anything about tares. We build up. We grow up. The church is where that happens. We fellowship. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for one another. That's what God works. And he puts us, when we're not in church, someplace in the world. He helps us to make a living. He gives us money for making a living. But we believe certain things. We're influenced by God, his word, and his Holy Spirit that's inside of us. And that inspiration, that Holy Spirit that's inside of us, how many times have I seen and you've seen it work? That people want to say something, they need to say something, but they hold on. And that doesn't mean they're a terror. That means they can grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. They really are Christians, aren't they? Sunday, I heard some good stories from young people that I work with, how awesome it was. And then they'll tell me something like, "Preacher, you don't know how hard it is to be good." I do. I know how hard it is. But there's an influence. And it's not, I want to try to be wheat. It's, I am wheat. God sowed a seed, and I can go back when he did it. I was sitting there minding my own business, and I really didn't care either way. And there came a time, there came a service, there came an opportunity. And that seed was sown in my heart. And I received the seed, and I believed, and I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard because wheat in the world that's not growing is against God's will. Being wheat and staying in the church and worrying about the world in the church, that's not God's plan. God's plan is to save the world. The seed that was rejected, the seed that didn't take in the hearts of men, that maybe there might be a tearing, it's not finished yet. God wants us to go back. He'll plant us where they are, and He'll have us influence those that are lost, those that rejected, those that refused to receive. He'll give them another chance, won't He? He will, won't He? And we can pray, and we can study, and we can be used. And we can be wheat, can't we? It doesn't matter how big and how ferocious the tares are. They're going to grow together. We're going to grow, aren't we? And you know the harvest, He says, is at the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels, not the church. And He's going to separate them finally and eternally one day. Some folks say, well, there's folks that have died, and there's folks that have been buried, they're long gone, and there's people that haven't been born yet. Well, one of these days, when the angels come to reap the world, there's going to be wheat and there's going to be tares. There's going to be wheat living and tares living. But there's also going to be wheat that are dead and their bodies are in the grave, and tares that their bodies are in the grave. When we die, our spirit goes to the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I struggled with this part of this for just a little while until my daddy passed away. Long, long time ago. I hadn't been preaching for very long. And I was wondering about the harvest. I had this same conversation with my brother this week. The Bible says in Revelation, you don't need to turn, I'll just read it. Revelation 14 and verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I preached that day to my family. I said, you know, Daddy couldn't be judged right now. There can't be a harvest for our Daddy because we're His works. And His works are going to follow Him. Huh? And everything that I do has some influence from my Daddy. It's not time for a harvest yet, is there? My brother's getting really close. He's had this lung cancer, he's lost the lung, all this chemo, everything. He's beginning to talk to me about how he wants to be remembered. But he was down that day. He raised me. And I told him, I said, Mike, you raised me. And you'll be remembered by how I turn out. Because you mean a lot to me. You're my brother, but you helped me. And even when you're gone, there's no harvest yet because I'm still helping out your camp. Because what you taught me, I've done it. And it's because of you, my brother. And it's the same today, grandkids and kids, isn't it? Influence. But it goes the other way too, doesn't it? A lot of bad habits that we have, we saw them from somebody in church. And we justify it by saying, well, the preacher does it, the deacon does it. That's a start, but that's not an excuse because those people will have to stand before God and be responsible for themselves. Those tares that are planted will be alongside the wheat, and they have no influence at all except evil and wicked. And it's already settled for some of them. But they can't be harvested yet because there's some people that have followed them. Those evil, wicked works are being followed. And all I got to do is turn on the TV and look at protests. and how much it's in our colleges, and how much of the terrors that's spreading, isn't it? Some of those kids don't understand, and some of those kids could turn out and be weak someday. But there's a group at the very top that are so corrupt and so influential that God's going to harvest their soul and judge their life. And they're going to get every bit of hell that they deserve. And every young kid that they influence, politics, everything that the terrorists are doing will be harvested on. And there'll be an end. And the end will be final. There'll be a complete separation. This morning, everything seems out of place, doesn't it, in the world? Satan should be in hell, shouldn't he? He's not, is he? Some guy told me the other day that we're in the kingdom that Revelation 20 talks about, where they bind Satan. You know, he's got a long chain on him. He's not bound yet. He's not in hell yet. He's walking to and fro seeking whom he may devour, isn't he? It's out of place that Satan's not in hell. It's out of place that we should be praising God and not failing him. We should be more worried about what we're doing in the world and how we're keeping the world out of church. Because they're not supposed to let it in here. God will take care of that for you. But in the world, we need to be in place. We need to bloom where we've been planted. Have you ever thought about that? Heard that message a long, long, long time ago. Wherever you've been planted, that's where you'll bloom. Right? And God places us in the world. He's got an influence in our hearts and in our minds. And the more we grow and grow and grow, it's to go out or be where we're at and be a light. The salt and the light is what we are to the world. Growing in the church is good. Bible studies, Bible drills, learning more gospel, learning more sermons, and enjoying every bit of going to every meeting and singing there is. That's an awesome thing if you've got time. But does that influence you as wheat to go every morning and say, Lord, I'm supposed to be a good Christian where I'm at. I'm supposed to be in the world because you put me there. And it's going to be hard because I'm working beside tares that are so tangled up with the world. But you said I'm supposed to grow together with them. It's out there, isn't it? It's the world that the church needs to go reach. And it's not necessarily the ministries of the church. It's the people of God individually. One's planted over here, and one's planted over there. One's working at Walmart, one's working at Nissan. Pray for you, that God will help you there. Yeah. But God plants us individually everywhere. We learned a long time ago when Josh, I guess what, he's 38 now? When he went off to kindergarten, he's by himself. Wasn't he? I mean, he has some help. He has some of the older kids in the neighborhood watching him. The kids are by themselves nowadays, aren't they? And they'll be tested and tried, and most all of them will fall, won't they? But wouldn't it be good if they had somebody that was sweet, that was right there with them? Somebody that God is growing up every week stronger and stronger and stronger. Wouldn't it be good for the wheat, wherever they're planted, to bloom so bold in a nice, good, powerful way that nobody could deny? And we won't know until it happens. It can happen, can it? I got to go back Friday and say goodbye to my work group. That was my very last day at Nissan. 28 years, they're dog years, really. And most of the people I worked with are gone, they're retired. And a lot of the guys I've worked with, some of them I've worked with for 8 years. But I had an influence on some of them, and I thank the Lord for that. But there's seeds that's been planted everywhere you go and everywhere I go. And if they forget us, they'll never forget the Lord that took it a step further. And those people might not know much about us, but they know we were Christians. They knew we were sweet. And every little bitty thing that we do to prove we're weak, people don't want to do. People that cheat. People that won't do a good job. People that argue and fuss at every little thing at work, and they're Christians, aren't they? They're weak. They're not a tear. They're around tears. But sometimes they lean closer to the tares than we do the wheat. What I'm saying is, wherever we've been planted, the hardest, most impossible thing to do is grow up in the Lord as weak where we're at outside of church. And let God have some wheat where he planted and bloom where we are. And what a different place the world would be, wouldn't it? I think that's God's plan. That's what he was telling the disciples. He was telling them the story, wasn't he? And he was telling them that this is a battle world. Somebody else, Satan, planted people. And they're going to do everything he says. And they're doing a good job, aren't they? They don't miss much of anything. But there's going to come a time, because there's an influence that's there right by them. And one day that seed will be sown again. And this time their heart might be different. There's a lot of people that can do a little bit, but they can't do what others are doing to that extent. And there's a lot of people changing their mind about being violent and being angry, aren't they? That hard-hearted heart, that thorny heart, the worldly heart, can begin to be changed by the wheat around it, slowly but surely. They can look at us every day, all day long, for years and years, and say, there's something about him. He's different. And I don't have it. And when the Lord opens the heart, and the seed keeps being sowed, a heart that might look like a tear to you might get saved and become a wheat, huh? God's good to us, isn't he? And we're so far behind that we can't fail. He loves us, doesn't he? And we've spent years and years of making church something different than it shouldn't be. It's all in here. We do reach people. We do help families. We really do. But that's not the story of this parable. Out there is where we're supposed to be individually as a Christian. I go to work, and I have been for years, and I've talked to people that are Christians. I know they're Christians. We pray for their babies. We pray for their families with cancer. And you know, I've never, ever, ever asked them where they go to church. It don't matter to me. It's in the world. Now, you flip that around in here, and it's, they don't believe like we do. I don't know. They know what we do. We're so worried about being in the church. But where we need to be concerned about is being a wheat in the world. And we're not finished. We got a couple more days to go. But this morning, you're here. And we sow the seed every Sunday morning, don't we? Every heart that's here gets the seed sown. And we don't know what the heart's like. Only God does. And we understand when sowing seed takes. It takes a while, doesn't it? The harvest isn't the invitation to make everybody so mad and go so long that somebody does something. That's not a harvest. That's manipulation. When God gets the seed sowed, there will be fruit. It might be today. It could be. If you're here today and you're not saved, and the Lord's told you, you know without a doubt you're lost, and you have never surrendered your life to the Lord, don't you see? You could be a tear. You could be an evil person. You could let that influence of the devil continue where you're at, where it's no secret no more. Everybody's going to know what you've been doing. It's a temptation. It's been hard. But if somebody like that does not get saved and receive the seed that's sown, they'll reject it. Okay. And they'll go to hell forever and ever and ever. But if you're here today, you come to Jesus, not to me. That's what happens, isn't it? The physical and natural thing is, well, let's walk up. Let's go up during the invitation. Let's at the end of the service. That's what we tell people. And it happens, but it needs to go deeper than that. In fact, the coming to Jesus needs to be first. Lord, I feel you drawing me. I understand. I've been listening. Outside of church, I can't sleep at night. I know that I'm lost. And all you lack today is surrender. Come with your heart publicly without any shame at all. Say, I want to be saved. And you're here, you are saved. What's your influence like? People know, don't they? I mean, there's a lot of things on every one of us that everybody could tell on. Everybody's got a past, don't they? But everybody doesn't have the same future. My little brother, he died 50 years old, heart attack, drugs, alcohol, just everything you could imagine, that boy did. And when somebody asked him, where did you get that? He said, from Jerry, my older brother. And he was right. But I tell people, if he'd have kept following me, he might have been a preacher. It's not my fault he stopped. I stopped. God got a hold of me. Because I had a daddy that was the biggest wheat that I could ever imagine. And he influenced me. How about it this morning? Do you see where you've been planted? Out there? Do you see the influence that God wants you to have? Do you see the work now that you need to do as a Christian? To come and get built up. To come and obey God. To get that life filling spiritually. Then to go out. Not to sit in here and have some happy days and some good services and say, well, we kept the world out. That's backwards, isn't it? According to the scripture. So this morning, we're going to stand. If you stand now, bow your heads and close your eyes. You need to come.